Good morning, everyone. Thank you for that lovely welcome. When I got a phone call to ask if I would come and speak, I knew exactly where I was coming. I still needed my sat nav, but I knew where I was coming, and thank you again for the invitation. Please do make yourselves available of the magazines. Just a word really to encourage the ladies. I am the cover girl of the latest magazine. So ladies, you are never too old to become a cover girl. You may not get on Vogue or any of these other magazines, but I'm a cover girl at 69 and never too old. No, actually I'm not. I'm 69 next month. But anyway, so take heart, ladies, you're never too old. I would like to read just a few verses of scripture from Micah. Micah chapter 7. And because I was telling the brother here that I get carried away, and so I try and combine a thought for the day along with stories, because I totally get carried away. I spoke at a fellowship in Chippenham, spoken there for 40 or so years at the ladies' fellowship, and I got so excited I forgot to do the reading. So we'll start with the reading, Micah chapter 7, and I'm just going to read the first three verses. What misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit. What misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I crave. The godly have been swept from the land. No one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The ruler demands gifts. The judge accepts bribes. The powerful dictate what they desire. So they wrap it up. Now, if you have a modern version, it will not say that. It will say that all conspire together. But the authorized version clearly says the powerful dictate what they desire, so they wrap it up. And the expression wrap it up is often used. I don't know if you use the expression, but it is part of speech that we use. It's a very short expression, but it is packed with a lot of meaning. And in this particular portion, what we find is that Micah is very distressed. The prophecy is to do with Israel. Micah is very grieved because he cannot find any godly people that are left. There are none in his heart, he feels, that are left in the land. And really, he's saying here that it's like looking for a godly person. It's as futile as looking for summer fruit after the harvest is over. That's how futile it is. I'm like looking for summer fruit though the harvest is over. That's what it's like looking for a godly man that is left in Israel. Now, what you and I would say was, it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. That's the expression that we would use. But I don't want to expound on Micah's prophecy, but I just want to use that little phrase, wrap it up, in a very practical, a very topical way to share with you this morning. And first of all, I want us to think about the wrapping up of containment. If you want to contain something, you wrap it up. You separate it so that it's prevented from mixing with or being associated with something else. In my house, if there's something left over, it gets the tinfoil experience and then it goes in the fridge. And I've wrapped it up, I've set it aside, and I would say pretty much you would do the same. And of course, you can use the word in a way, or the phrase, to do with our lives, if you like, very much in the same way. We are individuals, aren't we? And we cannot answer for one another. If you try to go through the passport control with your wife's passport, you've got the same name, but they won't let you through. Or if you try to go with your friend's passport or juggle them around, you will not get through, because you are an individual wrapped up in that individual of who you are. And, you know, if you see an accident and you're called as a witness, you can't say, I'm busy, I'll send my mate. No, because they're not you. You've seen the accident. You've got to go. Nobody can go on your behalf. And that is true of us when it comes to God. We are individuals and we have to answer for ourselves. Paul says, everyone must give an account of himself to God. And when we stand before our Maker, he will not ask us about our neighbour or friends in the other village. He will discuss with you about you. Well, I haven't been there yet, but it will be all about you when we stand before him. And I wonder, as we're all here this morning, what have we got wrapped up in our lives? Have we got some secret struggle? Something that we really find difficult to come to terms with or to get over? Might be some secret sin. But what have you got wrapped up in your life this morning? I was chatting to one of my sergeants at my army barracks that I visit, and I was chatting to this sergeant, and he said, and the army all call me Padre. They don't call me Meg, it's their mentality. It's either Padre, well, generally is Padre, and I'm not even a Padre, but I've given up. They call me that, that's fine. And he said, Padre, he says, I'm all right. He says, because he said, I was born into a Christian home, so I'm all right. I said, oh, I said, that's interesting, Sarge. I said, I know you was born, both your parents are in the military, aren't they? And he said, oh, yes. He said, my dad's so-and-so and my mother's a so-and-so. Oh, I said, right. I said, when you was born, was you born a soldier? Don't be silly, Padre. I said, but you wasn't one. You was bought, you had to join up to be a soldier. I said, well, that's just like it is with God and becoming a Christian. You're just privileged being born into a Christian family, but you've got to join up yourself. You've got to make that commitment yourself. I've just completed my 39th Nijmegen in July. And I'm always RFA, ready for anything. And as you know, we've had really scorching weather. Nijmegen was really, really hot as well. And, you know, we had to march 100 miles despite the weather. And you get a couple of days rest before we start, because when you're finished, you're straight home. And I don't know what time of day it was, but I was laying on my bed, and the girls have their own block, and you have a red panel which you can take out That's the fire panel, and you can take it out when we're all chilling, but when we're out marching, it must go back. Well, I was just laying on my bed and just sort of, you know, taking it easy, and I heard some singing in the next block, because the people on the other side of my block, they had their red panel out. So the next block was a men's block, you see, and I could hear this singing. My garden shed better than your garden shed. My garden shed better than your garden shed. I thought, I've never heard of that ridiculous song. I think it was just made up. But I just kept hearing, my garden shed better than your garden shed. Well, I never got off my bed so quick as when I heard this ridiculous song. I haven't got the garden shed one, but I take a selection of my books. These are done by a lady called Ben Huddleston. She's a lady, but her dad wanted a boy, and I think he was going to call her Benjamin, but anyway, she's Cynthia actually, but she writes under Ben Huddleston. And I have all her books. I'm a real fan of Ben's. And she has Thoughts from the Kitchen, Sweet Thoughts. You know, I give sweet thoughts to those that are on a diet so they can have a sweetie every day without putting on weight. Thoughts on all sorts. And there's one, Thoughts from the Garden Shed. And I got it out of my bag really quickly, and I ran through the block, and I caught these young people singing this song, and my garden shed better than yours. No, it isn't. Ours is better than yours. And that kind of to-ing and fro-ing. And I said, now whose garden shed is better than whose? His garden shed's better than ours, he says. I said, is that right? So I said, now, young man, I said, I want to know if your garden shed is better than this one. And it was this side. It's a thought for the day, every day, for the month, on whatever subject. There's pause for thoughts, for animals, thoughts on sport, all sorts. So I said, see if your garden shed is as good as this or better than this garden shed. So I gave him the booklet and I said, now, you're responsible to read a thought to your troops and see if they judge your garden shed better than this one. Well, all the troops absolutely applauded me, and they were yeah, because I'd got one over on him, you see. This is what they're like. So I gave him the booklet. I went back to my room and I lay on my bed. Day one, and I heard him do two readings straight off, and then that was it. Well, I was taking a shower, and there are a group of air cadets, they're school children still, and I was taking a shower, and their lady officer was having a shower at the same time. And she said, Meg, she said, your little book, Thoughts from the Garden Shed, she said, we have a thought at every rest area during the march. You get three rest areas that are official. And so every rest area, he takes the little booklet and they have a thought from the garden shed. Absolutely just made me smile. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word. And so that really, really made me smile that I knew three times a day for 4 days, plus of an evening when they got together, they were having a little thought for the day from my booklet. It's good always to be RFA. We have a group of people at Bryce Norton called 1AMW, 1 Air Medical Wing. They're parented by RAF Wittering, which is over 100 miles away. And at 1AMW, they, at a moment's notice, will take anything around the world that's needed for famines, disasters, all sorts. And we would go. They started off going to RAF. Just forgotten. It's where the Red Arrows used to be, not far from Bryce Norton. It'll come to me. Well, we started off there. I would visit them. They have a week's exercise in the field, so I would go visit them. They all get a can of Coca-Cola, and I have chocolate and biscuits and all sorts. Then they couldn't go to this particular unit. Little Risington, RAF Little Risington. They couldn't go there because the area put an embargo on firing. Of course, they do blanks, but they're not allowed to use ammunition after, say, 10 at night. Well, if you're in the middle of a war zone, you can't say, sorry, enemy, it's 10 o'clock, you know. It doesn't work like that. So they then went to what is now called Dalton Barracks. It was at Air Force. The army take over everything, the Air Force closed. And I went to Dalton Barracks, not far away at all. But now they go to RAF Wittering, which, as I say, is over 100 miles away. And I don't want to just stop visiting them, so I leave my house at 5:45 in the morning, and I get to RAF Wittering about 9 o'clock. I phone the guy up and say, I'm at the guard room, and the boss will come and pick me up. And I spend the morning with these troops. I'm connecting with them. I love the ministry of Jesus because it's incredibly practical. He didn't say to the 5,000, look, I'll feed you if you come to the synagogue. He met their needs because they had a physical need. And I like to go, and they are most appreciative of the fact that I go all the way to RAF Wittering. There isn't a Christian amongst them that has certainly identified him or herself to me at all, and I know them well. But on one occasion, I go 4 times a year, once a quarter. They have a week's exercise. And I went back to my car. I just park up. I don't have to lock it up because it's all just the boys and girls on exercise. And I went back to my car to come back home. And somebody had left £30 on my passenger seat. I thought, how lovely. Well, of course, when I got home, I went spend Vivian, and I just blew it in B&M and bought a load of chocolate for them, which I really enjoyed. Connecting with them shows that you care. You've got to connect with them. I was voluntold, I don't know if you've ever been voluntold, but I was voluntold that I was to do a 12,000 foot tandem parachute jump for the 100th anniversary of the Air Force. They wanted 100 people for this tandem parachute jump. They were doing them over 3 days. Great. I was voluntold, and 50 years ago this year, I earned this, jumping out of the air balloon at RAF. RAF. See, names of Western on the Green. 50 years ago, I earned this, but I was only jumping out of a balloon, 800 foot off the ground. So I was voluntold. I was doing this 12,000 foot tandem, which meant I could celebrate my 50th anniversary. Yes, that's all right, sir. Yes, I'll do that. And when am I going to do it? Oh, you're doing it in May. May, we're doing it in May, Meg. You're all right, 100. You pick your day which you'd like to do it. Okay, that's fine, sir. He said he would tandem me. That's all right, that was nice. He's a nice young officer, handsome. Hanging around with a handsome young man for 12,000 feet. You know, somebody's got to do it, haven't they? Well, a corporal friend of mine I used to know at Lynham, when she heard I was doing this, she wanted to tandem me. And the officer, he said, that's fine, Becky, I know you've got a good friendship and we share the same birth date, not year. So when people said, Meg, who's tandeming you? I say, well, it was Flight Lieutenant Mooney. But he's binned me for a younger model. Well, he never had, but I kept telling people that because it was a good story. Yes, I say, he's binned me for a younger model. Well, as it happened, Becky went on holiday, so Gaz did tandem me in the end. So I had to eat humble pie, but it didn't matter. It was a good bit of banter. And he tandemed me. Now, when did I do my tandem? Less than 24 hours of getting home from my 100-mile march. Yes, I know. There's no rest for some people. It was amazing. Except when we fell through the cloud, my tandem said, "Meg, I don't know where we are." I said, "Well, there's no good asking me. What do I know? I'm just hanging around." Well, I was glad that when we came through the cloud, we were still within the vicinity of Weston-on-the-Green and not on the M40. Yeah, that was good. And, you know, I like to identify with my troops, and I know we're in an age of this contactless. You just go to the shop and you put your plastic and you've paid. I don't do that myself. I'm too old-fashioned. But would you believe I raised for the RAF charities, because I was doing it for the RAF 100, I raised £4,531, all in real money. And it was great to send that off. I've now been tricked into something else. I was talking with my troops, and a young airman called Cooper, I call him Coops. He said, "Meg," he says, "you could do with a challenge." I said, "Oh, could I?" He said, "Yes, you could." He says, "I'll sponsor you if you go moonwalking. You know, the Michael Jackson." Yeah, I thought, well, I do dance like an octopus on speed. You know, that would be good to have a go at moonwalking, you know? So I said, "Well, you're on. Yeah, you're on. Yes, right." Got out his mobile phone, showed me what I was doing, and no, I'm not moonwalking. I'm wingwalking. On the day of my 69th birthday next month. So I will be strapped to an aircraft at 130 mile an hour, my hair will be just going through the breeze, flying through the air. Again, it's for an RAF charity. But this time, I've got an unpaid secretary, because I haven't got long. I only signed up a couple of weeks ago, and I've got an unpaid secretary, a sergeant on the camp, and she's done me one of these just giving pages, and I've raised what I need, but she thinks it's not enough, so she's put it up. The troops are really lovely, and I think it's because I like to connect with them. I like to share with them. I like to be practical. On Friday, I went to Buckley Barracks. Now, the Army are very different to the Air Force. They do a summer break for 3 weeks, and you'll only get the remnant looking after the base. It's not something the Air Force ever do, but the Army do. And at the moment, Buckley Barracks are on their summer break, and I thought, I'll go visit the boys that are left. Now, once a month, I go into the guard room, and they all get a can of Coke and whatever they get out of the morale bag. I'll get a can of Coke. And I went Friday, although I'd already done Coke earlier in the month, but I went on Friday. I pulled up, and there was two boys on the gate, and one of them is called Collins. Well, that's his surname. I can't pronounce his Christian name. And he began questioning me about my badge and what did it mean. And in conversation, I said to him, "I'll be right in saying you have got a spiritual heritage." "Yes," he said, "I come from a Christian home. I'm a Christian." I said, "Oh," I said, "that's great." I said, "When did you become one?" When anybody tells me they're a Christian, I say, "Oh, that's great. When did you become one?" "Oh, I was born one." "Oh," I said, "I don't want to upset you." I said, "the only thing you was born is a sinner." And bearing in mind, people are coming, not many, through the gate. But when somebody came through the gate, I would stand back. And I said, "I'm ever so sorry, Collins, but," I said, "you was born a sinner." And I quoted the scripture. And he said, "Well, yeah, okay." And he was going along with what I was saying. And then I went into the guard room, because his time was up, 2 hours on the gate, and then they have a couple of hours off. And I got talking to another young man called, I call him Ebenezer. I think that's his name. I don't always catch their names properly. So he's a black African boy, same as Collins. And I was talking to them both. And Ebenezer, he said, He said, "Oh, I'm all right, Padre." He says, "I'm a Christian." I said, "That's really great." I said, "Have you spoke to your mate then?" I said, "And told him when you became a Christian?" He says, "Oh, I was born one." I said, I'm the bearer of bad news today," I said, "because I said, he was only ever born a sinner." Well, because these two guys were on their break, we had a really good discussion. And the boys do a full 24-hour shift, then they have 24 hours off, and then they have another 24-hour shift. And today is their last day on their shift, and then they have a few days off. And I gave both the boys, I gave one Why Jesus, and the other one Journey into Life, two different ones. And they said, "Look, we finish on Sunday. Sunday's our last day, Padre. Could you come back and talk to us again?" And I said, "Well, I'd be delighted to, guys." I said, "I'll tell you what," I said, "thoroughly read these booklets." I said, "And I'll come and see you on Sunday on my way home from church. So when I leave here, I'm going to Buckley Barracks and I'm going to talk to Collins and Ebenezer." I was sat in an officer's office having a chat just on general things, and a young airman came by and he loitered and looked into the office. And I looked, because you're very conscious, aren't you? And I looked, and it was Ben. And Ben looked at me, and he says, "Hello, Meg." I said, "I'll be with you in a minute, Ben." So he moved away, and I chatted with the officer, and I said, "I'll go see the young airman, sir." And off I went. Ben was at Brize Norton 6 years ago. But he's been to two different camps, and he's arrived back at Brize Norton. And I said, "It's lovely to see you, Ben." I said, "How are you getting on?" And we chatted. And I said, "And how are you getting on spiritually?" He said, "Do you know, Meg," he said, "I've had nobody to talk to about the Bible like you used to talk to me." Now, he's not a Christian, but he said, "I haven't had anybody to talk to like the way you talk about it." I said, "Well," I said, "I'm sorry about that, but," I said, "now you're here," I said, "we can pick up where we left off." But of course, other things have come into his life. But I see Ben at work, and he always comes and makes a point of saying hello. And, you know, this is a Meg's Mix. I don't know if I showed you these before. This is a Meg's Mix. And he likes a Meg's Mix. Now, not everybody gets a Meg's Mix, because I'm the only one on the production line to make them. But I went into where he worked, and his flight sergeant, she'll only have a Meg's Mix. So when I went in the last time, and I went in her office, I said, "Look," I said, "give Ben one of these." So she's very good. She didn't give it in front of everybody. She called him into the office. But he's lovely, and I leave literature about, but I'm really praying for Ben that he will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I've done two weddings this year. When I say weddings, I've got a 6 foot plus Goliath of a soldier, and he married his wife in a Caribbean country, but he said a proper blessing. I don't know what that meant like, but at Buckley Barracks we have a lovely bungalow where if you're a married man and you're divorced, you can have your children for the weekend and you can stay in this lovely bungalow. And I did them a blessing. I was able to do a portion of scripture. I was able to give them a little thought and prayers. And his wife is a Christian, but James isn't. And I've been talking with James. I call him Mr. Procrastinator. He's now in Oman. I've got a little parcel all ready to send him. And in the parcel, I put a gambling chip, and on one side it says, Jesus went all the way in for you, and on the other side it says, man up and give your all to him. That's good. I've got loads of gambling chips, they're really good, and I've put him a booklet in. I did another wedding later on in the year of a chief tech and his girlfriend, who I knew from Lynham. They're now at Bry's. And it's a great opportunity to really give them something of the word, which they're not used to. And they're great opportunities to share the word. Why am I so enthusiastic in sharing the word? Because there is a wrapping up of commitment. You know, young man, when you go around the shops and you look for your girlfriend a present or your wife, and you think, oh, that's lovely, I'll buy you that. And you take it to the counter and she wraps it up because the decision has been made. She's sealed your decision. She has wrapped it up and it's sealed. And of course, God has got our best interest at heart, that he wants to wrap you and I up. He's bought the gift. The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. He's got our spiritual welfare wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Though we've got no interest in him, Paul says, no one desires or seeks for God. But Jesus came seeking you and I. And so I want to see young men and women have their lives wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Back at Lynham, I used to play football for the Ladies League. We haven't got one now, sadly. But I remember being in a tea bar full of guys. And they said, how's your footy going, Meg? Because I was the goalkeeper, you see. And they said, how's your football going, Meg? I said, it's okay, guys, but we sometimes get a bit short. You know, you could put a skirt on. Well, you have lady shorts and you could come and play for us. No, you're all right, Meg. No, you're all right. We'll do what we do and you do what you do. I says, well, we are struggling a bit, guys. But I said, but do you know, God, did you know I'm a black belt in origami? They looked at me like I got two heads. I said, I'm a black belt in origami, guys. I said, do you want to hear about it? Yeah, we would, yeah. Thinking, what is this woman on about? So I said, I'll show you how good I am at origami. So I got a bit of A4 paper, folded it, tore it up. Every bit fell apart and it looked like rubbish. You talk about getting a quiet audience, not one word. And I opened all this paper as it had all fallen. Every piece tells a story of the gospel. Every piece. Not one piece is wasted. From the dice, two thieves on the cross, name above, the spear. And the boys just could not believe it. I said, there we are, guys. I told you I was a black belt in origami. And they said, we have never seen anything like it, Meg. So I binned all the paper and left them some little bits of reading and off I went. Keith, who watched it, was then put in another section, because if you're a trade, you can go different sections. And he'd become an instructor. And I went to follow him up, going in the section. And he said, Meg, he said, do you think you could do your origami for me? So, of course I can, Keith, yeah. So I did it again. Keith got posted to Bryce Norton, and so did I. And so we picked up our commitment and relationship. I was on my bike going round Bry's and Keith saw me in his car and he shouted out, we need to catch up. I said, right, I'll see you later on then, I'll come and see you at work. And where he worked, they've got big lecture rooms because he's an instructor. And he shared with me what he was going through and he said, you know, Meg, he said, I need that origami story in my life. So there in his place of work, I led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Keith has had some struggles, But a couple of weeks ago, we got a new commanding officer at Bryce Norton. We all had to go into a hangar, and there was this handover. They've never done it before, but anyway, they wanted to do it now, so there was this handover. There's loads of us in the hangar. Who should I bump into? Keith. I do see him occasionally, but because of the nature of his instructing, I don't see him every week. He says, "We need to catch up, Meg." So as we walked out, we walked to where he works, although it's a bit derelict at the moment, so they've all moved out. But he still had the combination to get in. And the, just the two of us, this was only a couple of weeks ago, we went into the tea bar that was, and he shared with me, and I was absolutely thrilled. The things he was saying and he was listening to my encouragement and trying to guide him. And I said, "Look, before we go, Keith, I'm going to pray." I prayed, and he prayed after me. Now, that was absolute... because it showed me just how he's growing, how he's maturing. And it was his spiritual birthday earlier this month, and when it's your spiritual birthday, you get a birthday card and a book or a mug with a text on or something, depends what you got the previous year. Absolutely thrilled, this great progress that he's making. At Bryce Norton, we have this, it's coming up to Battle of Britain, our remembrance, and we had the military ladies choir in this hangar, stood on the back of the aircraft, on the slope, singing. And I thought, I'll go to the hangar and I'll see everybody and just mingle. And I went into the hangar and mingling with my troops, and there's loads of people there. And this gentleman said to me, "Who are you?" And I wanted to say, you know, like when people say that, you want to say, "What do you mean, who am I? You mean you don't know who I am? I'm Posh Spice, sort of, you know." I said, "Oh," I says, "I'm Meg the Mobile Vicaress." Now, bear in mind how big Bryce is, I don't see everybody as much as I go around all the sections. Anyway, I said, "Oh, I'm Meg the Mobile Vicaress. And this is the 21st century version of the loaves and fishes. This is my morale bag. You name it, it'll be in my bag for the boys to enjoy." And so I said, "This is a 21st century version of the loaves and fishes. Would you like to have a little rummage in and get something?" Well, with that, he asked me about God. And so I began talking to him. And it transpired that he's a Muslim. We are not allowed to proselytize. We're not. But if somebody opens the door to me, I'm in with 2 feet. I'm fully in, lock, stock and barrel, if they've opened to me. And so I began telling him about what I am and what I do and what I believe. And he's from Jordan, and his name is Ra'ed. It's like Reed, but the E and the A are the other way around. So everybody calls him Ed for short. And I had a nice talk with Ed, and I said, "Would you like me to come and say hello to you if I catch you in your office?" I said, "Where do you work?" He said, "Oh, in the next hangar." I said, "Oh, I'll pop and see you." Although I do go in the hangar, but, you know, don't always see them. So I went in a few days later and I saw Ed, and we chatted, and we just chatted. I didn't leave him any literature straight away, and then I went back and give him a little booklet, and he told me about coming from Jordan and such like. This was the late in the year, about the November, September, October, November-ish. Well, of course, come Easter, it's all cream eggs. Everything goes out of the bag, it's all cream eggs. And Ed had been reading my little booklets, and I went to his office and I said, "Ed, pick an egg. What sort of an egg would you like?" And he picked a cream egg, and I said, "I'm going to leave you this little booklet to tell you why you're eating it. I'll come and see you after Easter, and you can tell me what you think." So I got up, I was going to go out to his office. Now, Ed is a very intelligent man. If you looked at his board, it's a white board, and it looks like your granddaughter or your grandson has gone and scribbled on it. But it's to do with weight and things that have not been in an aircraft. It's just really, really amazing, and he's very clever. Well, I got up and I was going to go, and he said to me, "I want to do it now." I says, "What do you want to do now?" He says, "I want to trust your God now." I said, "Do you?" He said, "Yes." So I closed the door. We sat down and I led Ed to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I lead somebody to the Lord, I either buy them a Bible or a daily reading book, something to mark that occasion. Well, that was great. And when I go see him, the officer in the next office, he'll say to me, "Meg, have you been to church?" I said, "Well, I go to church all the time, sir." "No, no, next door. Because whatever I buy Ed, whatever I give him, it's all around his office." Now, in a daily reading book, he had, and I haven't got it actually with me, but I went in to see him and he said, "I've got to show you something, Meg." Not as enthusiastic as me, but he said, I've got to show you this. I said, "Yes, all right, Ed, what is it?" And in the daily reading, he has a little reading before he starts his work every day. And it was from the Psalms, and it was about the ministry of angels. And of course, from a particular word, I'm sorry I haven't got it because it's really good, we get the word dynamic. The English word dynamic comes from this particular angelic force that God has. And it was talking about how the angels minister to God and does his bidding. And he said to me, "Meg," he says, "I am studying dynamic force today." This is what got him. The reading was about dynamic force of the angelic host, and he was studying dynamic force to do with things in the aircraft. He said, "How many angels do you think God will send me to help me today?" Absolutely thrilling, because for a Muslim, he was seeing God speaking to him and the relevance of the scriptures, and he was so enthusiastic. Well, time has gone, friends. I would just like to finish with one story about Greg with one G. Because, you know, the other Greg has got two G's, where you go and buy a pasty or a cake, right? Well, I've been speaking to a Greg with one G. He likes to remind me. So now when I see him, I say, "Where's Greg with one G?" Lovely guy, he's a staff sergeant in the army. And we would chat on. And he went to an Anglican church in Swindon. But I told him he was a Nicodemus. He was religious, but that's all. But he couldn't get it, and he thought he was all right. And very lovely guy, lovely guy. And he went on a course. I bumped into him in SHQ. Never seen him outside his office. I know he's in his office because his dog is there. You know, it's like going to a kennel club sometimes in the army, and his dog's there. And I only ever see Greg with one G in his office. Well, on this particular day, it was in March this year, I was coming out of SHQ. And who should be coming out but Greg? He says, "Oh, hello." He said, "Would you like to go over the Naffy with me and I'll buy you a coffee?" I said, "I'll go over the Naffy with you, but you'll have to buy me a bottle of pop, because I don't do coffee or tea." "Oh, yeah," he said, "that's okay." I knew he could afford a bottle of pop. He's a staff sergeant. Off to the Naffy we went, found a table, and he said, "Meg," he said, "I've been on a course," he says, "and I've come back," he said, "and I'm just not together. I can't work it out. I don't know what's the matter." "Oh," I said, "oh, I do." I said, "You cannot lead anybody where you haven't been yourself." And I said, you don't feel altogether because you're not altogether, because you're a Nicodemus. You've got a religion, but no relationship. He said, but he says, how do I get it? How do I get it? I said, you need to be born again. You need to come and trust Christ as your saviour. How do I do it? I said, well, do you want to do it, Greg, with 1G? He said, yes. I said, would you like to go into a side room in the naffy somewhere? No. No, he says, I'll do it here. I thought that was really brave, because of the naffy is where you go and have refreshments, and there's people on other tables. No, he says, I'm happy to do it here. So there in the naffy, Greg and I bowed our heads. I always have a journey into life in my bag, because I didn't know what words to say when I trusted Christ. And I gave the booklet to Greg, and I led him to the Lord in the naffy. I mean, not the place I would expect to lead somebody to the Lord, but I thought it was great, because he was openly confessing from the word go. And that really warmed my heart. Greg is a staff sergeant. He has responsibilities that others don't. I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, and I said, how are you getting on, Greg? And what's interesting, he always greets me with a hug. Now, he didn't do before, and it's like we're family, you know, and there's that between us that there wasn't. And he greets me with a hug. I said, how are you getting on, Greg? He said, I've just had it landed on my shoulders. I'm afraid some of the army boys take drugs. Very sadly, some have just been caught. They do drug tests regularly. And he's got to sort out these two soldiers and all that's involved, as well as his job. And I said, Greg, it's not easy. I said, I'll be praying for you. I couldn't pray for him. We couldn't go because he was busy with his work. But he knows the Lord, and it's made such a difference to his composure, to how he sees things, and it's just an absolute joy to be able to mingle with these men and women. I like to be very practical. I hope you'll say a prayer for me on my birthday, because I will be, I don't know how many hundred feet in the air, 130 mile an hour, but there we are. I don't do anything by half, though I'm tricked into things. I must get my hearing sorted. Really, I heard him wrong. Please avail yourself of the magazine. The next issue, I won't be on the front cover, but I will be in it again, because I've got to do my Nijmegen report. Great opportunities still abound. Military is changing immensely, but I have total freedom. I've just got a new commanding officer, but I've been tipped off what he likes. He likes those chocolate hobnob, you know, like Maltesers. But you can buy packets. I bought one. So I haven't been to see him yet, because he's got to get to see everybody else. But in my morale bag, there will be a little bag of chocolate hobnobs for him. You're set off on the right foot, because he doesn't know me. But I think he soon will, once people tell him. I've gone over time. I am sorry, I'm rubbish. But thank you for listening, and thank you for your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. I don't think anybody will be asleep, so it's after that.